tonight? Amen. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to the book of Galatians, chapter 3. I pray that you have the most blessed resurrection day ever. If there was ever a time to shine, it's this time. Now, we should shine every day, but Jesus is raising, he's raised from the dead, amen? Hallelujah. And in Galatians 3, we'll go to verse 13. Christ, the anointed one, and his anointing, that's what Christ, that's who Christ is, the anointed one, has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. You realize he was made a curse for us? For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So we have been redeemed from poverty, sickness, and death. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So every blessing that we receive has its beginning in the redemptive work of Christ. And this is why we have what we have. And we've been talking about these redemptive realities. Hallelujah. And we've been talking about how we've been redeemed from poverty and sickness and death. Hallelujah. There we go. And we want to talk about how we're redeemed from death tonight. And I want you to go to Genesis chapter 2. We're going to go back a little bit, see what happened, and we're going to pick it up. Amen? Now, how was man created? Was he created for a period of time? Did he have an expiration date on him? You know, God did not create man with an expiration date. Okay? He created him to live forever. And he gave him a free will. And God told, in Genesis 2:15, the Lord God took the man, put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Say, I've got a garden. And I'm to dress it, and I'm to keep it. Okay? Then he said, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden, you may what? Freely eat. How many trees? Every tree. Okay? But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall what? Now, did they have more trees to eat from than not to eat from? Yeah. Amen. Okay? So he said, you know, you shall not eat of it, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely what? So if he was to disobey what God said, death was going to occur. All right? Now, Adam and Eve, Adam was covered in the glory of God. In verse 18, he says, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make a helpmeet for him. Was Eve around when God spoke that to Adam? No. No, she wasn't. And so he created Eve. Now, let's go to chapter 3. Okay? Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, has God said, You shall not eat of the tree? You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. That's not what God said, was it? He said, If you eat of it, you will surely die. That's what he told Adam. Adam had a charge. Adam had a command. And the serpent said unto the woman, You will not surely die. Totally contradicting what God said. Okay? And for God does know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes will be opened, and you shall be as God. They were already like God, knowing good and evil. God would have taught them good and evil. He would have taught them the difference, right? And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired. So here we have the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life all right here. To make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also to her husband. Where? Where was he? With her. And he did eat. Now what's going to happen when he ate? He was going to die. Okay? He had the authority from God to keep the garden. And he had a legal right, not necessarily a moral right, to give his dominion. Okay? And God honored Adam's right to give his dominion away. He did. Okay? And God honors Satan's right to operate on earth because authority was given to him. He's called the prince of the power of the air. He's called the God of what? This world. Now that's only going to be for a time. He does have an expiration date. When Jesus comes back, Satan's going to be dealt with once and for all. So what happened to Adam directly? Now, when Adam ate of the fruit, he didn't stop breathing, did he? You know, he still was able to walk and to talk, but something had changed. Okay? Adam experienced death. Adam became a walking dead man. He crossed from life to death. Well, if he didn't die physically, then what kind of death did he experience? There are three types of death. Okay? There is physical death. When the breath leaves the body, it's an outward manifestation of spiritual death. Okay? Physical death is when the breath leaves the body. All right? And the body becomes lifeless because the breath in the body makes it alive. Then there is spiritual death. And this is what Adam experienced. He was now separated from the life of God. Adam was walking with God in the cool of the day. He was fellowshipping with God. God would talk with him. He would talk with God. They had relationship. They had fellowship. But when he ate of the fruit, and it wasn't because he disobeyed God. Okay, that's really the point. God said, don't do this or you're going to die. God warned him. And when he ate, he died. He was separated from the life of God. Then the third death is eternal death. That's when someone is eternally separated from the life of God. It's someone who never accepted Jesus while they were on this earth, and they died. And guess what? They're going to spend eternity in hell. Those in hell, they're experiencing the eternal death. They're eternally separated from God with no hope of getting back in connection with him. So you better accept Jesus now while you're alive. Amen? So death is not just the absence of life. Death is a nature. Okay? It doesn't mean non-existence. You can be spiritually dead and still operate in spiritual things. How many know of the occult? Witchcraft. They're spiritually dead, but they're operating in spiritual things. But they're operating in darkness. Okay? Death is a force that is opposite of life. And the minute Adam sinned, he took on the spiritual nature of the devil. Now, how did the devil become the devil? He was not always the devil. He was an angel. His name was Lucifer. And he was hanging out by the throne of God. But iniquity was found in his heart. He exalted himself. He said, I'm going to exalt myself above God. And he really wanted to be worshipped. He wanted the worship that God was to receive. And what happened? He got kicked out. When he got kicked out, he lost his anointing. He ceased to be Lucifer, and he became the devil. He became the accuser of the brethren. He became the destroyer. He became the father of lies. So when Adam sinned, a totally different nature manifested in him. Instead of walking with God, what did they do? When God came to the garden, what did Adam and Eve do? They hid because they were separated from the life of God. They didn't want to be in the presence of God. Because death was working. In Ephesians 2, go to Ephesians 2 for a minute. Ephesians chapter 2. I have to give you this background so that we can know what we've been redeemed from. Amen? Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 3. And you has he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. What were you? You were dead. What were you dead in? Trespasses and sins. But notice, he quickened you while you were dead. What does that word quicken mean? It means to make alive. While you were dead, God resuscitated you. God revived you. God infused life into you. Notice this now. Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world. Before we were in Christ, we were dominated by the world system. Okay? We walked according to the course of this world. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom we all had our conversation. That word conversation is lifestyle. In times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And notice this last phrase. And were by what? Nature, the children of wrath, even as others, but God. There are times when you hear but God, and that just has to get you excited. Who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. So we've been made alive with Christ. Isn't that good news? And, you know, we know that Jesus told the Pharisees in John 8, he said, you are of your father, the devil. In other words, they did not have a righteous nature in them. They had a sin nature in them. Okay, they had the nature of the devil. And that's why they were doing what they were doing. And, you know, your nature is the natural production. It's the lineal descent. Okay? And when your heart is made righteous, now you now produce righteous actions. You now have righteous speech, but it takes a righteous heart to do righteous actions and to have righteous speech. You can't be righteous with an unrighteous heart, can you? Okay? And so we have been redeemed from death. Okay? Now, even though we've been redeemed from death, we still have to renew our minds. I said this before, you are one-third saved. You'd be like, what are you talking about? Your body was not saved. Your mind was not saved, but your spirit, the real you, the hidden man of the heart, that's what was saved. Okay? But now we got this body and this mind that we got to deal with. So your spirit has to, okay, God speaks to your spirit, right? Your spirit then has to communicate to your soul, and your soul then speaks to your mind, and your mind then speaks to your body. But now we got to train ourselves to respond to that spirit and not to what we were responding to before. Okay? So we still got to renew our minds. And you know what? Your body will die. Look at someone and say, you're going to die. Yeah. Unless Jesus comes again, we are going to be separated from this body. But to be absent from the body is what? To be present with the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, because sin entered the world, Romans 5:12 says, sin entered the world and death by sin. So when sin was allowed to occur in the world, then it brought death and sickness with it. Okay? So if sin is the root of sickness, and if sin is the root of death, and when you deal with the root, won't you deal with the fruit? Hallelujah. So Jesus dealt with sin, therefore he also dealt with sickness, and he also dealt with death. Hallelujah. See, the good thing that you need to know as a Christian, death can't keep you down. It couldn't keep Jesus down, and it won't keep you down either. If Jesus was raised from the dead, guess what? It doesn't matter if you die, because you'll be raised too. Hallelujah. In other words, you have an automatic elevator ride from death to life. Praise God. Okay? But sin had to be paid for. All right? And Jesus paid for our sin. Okay? Grace trumps sin. Where sin abounds, the Bible says, grace does much more abound. So God's grace is greater than sin. Grace can wipe out sin. Grace is the cure for sin. Grace can eradicate sin. By grace are you saved. When you're saved, you lose the sin nature and you get God's nature. You get back the nature. You don't even get back the nature that Adam had. You get back the nature that Christ has. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Go to Romans 5. Romans 5. Hallelujah. Romans 5. Okay, let's pick up with verse 14. It says, for until the law was, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed. It wasn't transferred to people. Verse 14, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression. Listen, what Adam did affected us all. Everyone born after Adam was born with a sin nature. Okay? And you were actually born into death. And that doesn't change until you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. But the moment you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're transferred from darkness to light, from death to life. Hallelujah. Okay? Now, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more, I love that, much more the grace of God and the gift of by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded to many. What is eternal life? It's what? It's a free gift. How do you qualify for a free gift? You simply sign your name. You accept the gift. It's freely offered to everybody. God wants every person to experience eternal life, not eternal death. He gave the answer in Jesus. Okay? For though the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life. See, when you're delivered from death, you can now reign in life. When you're redeemed from death, you can now reign in life. After all, doesn't God call us kings and priests? He has a kingdom of kings. And say, I'm a king. I'm a priest. I'm called to reign. Isn't that what Jesus did for us? Jesus came. God came in the form of flesh. And he showed us how to reign on earth. When people tried to kill him, what did he do? He just walked away. When there was a great need, he saw God's provision. There wasn't anything Jesus couldn't do on earth. And guess what? We're just like him. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by righteousness of one, the free gift come upon all men unto justification. So death will produce judgment, but righteousness produces justification. What's justification? Just as if I've never sinned. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace does much more abound. And look at verse 21. That as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So grace trumps sin. And, man's redemption included an incorruptible body. You know, we're going to trade this corruption, what's going to happen when Jesus comes again? We're going to trade up. You're going to get a new model. You're going to get a glorified body. Remember when Jesus appeared to the disciples after he rose from the dead? He said he was flesh and bone, right? And they could touch him. He could eat, but he could appear with the door closed. So your glorified body is not going to have the restrictions that this body does. That's going to be awesome. Okay? And man needed someone to pay the price. There is one God and one mediator between man and God, the man, Christ Jesus. How many mediators are there? There's just one, okay? So, you know, a slave can't free a slave. Did you know that? A free man needs to free a slave. So if you're a slave and you're trying to free another slave, it's not going to work. But if you're a free man that's trying to free a slave, then it's going to work, okay? See, I've been redeemed from death. Hallelujah. So, Jesus, he came, he fulfilled everything that God required, all right? And let's go here. Let me get to this here. when you have 24 pages of notes. Okay? Now, to be redeemed, so we're redeemed from death. Okay, that means to make something pleasant in spite of its negative qualities. So death for the Christian has no sting. Amen? That means if you know that you're redeemed from death, that means nothing can hinder you from doing what God wants you to do. If death can't stop you, then what can stop you? Amen? So you got to walk in that knowledge. Okay, Jesus conquered physical death. He conquered spiritual death, and he conquered eternal death. Remember in Revelation 1, he said, I hold the keys to who? Death, hell, and the grave. Hallelujah. Jesus holds the keys. Why? Because he was the champion. He was the victor. He defeated Satan from the inside out. When he died on the cross, that wasn't the end. That was just the payment. But then when he rose from the dead, he made a show of the enemy openly, triumphing over him in it. Glory to God. So he changed a negative to a positive. Now get this. God was the initiator because he thought it. Jesus is the executor. He brought it. And the Holy Spirit is the workhorse, and he wrought it. Amen? I love how God works together. So Jesus restored, redeemed. He is the resurrection and the life. Right? When he showed up at Mary and Martha's house, their brother who had been sick, he died, and Jesus waited 4 days before he went to their house. And when he got there, you know, Martha said, you know, Jesus, if you'd have been here, you know, you could have healed my brother. But he said, I am what? The resurrection and the life. So because now the resurrection and the life is on the scene, it doesn't matter what the circumstances look like. It doesn't matter if he's been in the grave 4 days or if he stinks, because the resurrection is the resurrection. And when the resurrection shows up, life is going to happen. Something dead, death is going to be eradicated and life is going to be brought forward. So Jesus, he stood before the tomb. He told him, he said, I want you to remove that tomb. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. Now he was the resurrection talking. See, every time the resurrection speaks, life occurs. So you don't want to kill anything that God's given life to. And you don't want to resurrect anything that God kills. Amen? Did you know that death is an enemy? 1 Corinthians 15:26, it calls death an enemy. Say, death's my enemy. And that last enemy is going to be conquered when Jesus comes again. And in Hosea 13:14, this was an interesting scripture. You can write it down. You don't have to turn there. Hosea 13:14, it said, should I ransom them from the power of Sheol or the place of the dead? Should I redeem them from death? Oh, death, where are your plagues? Paul gets at, he says, it's actually death, where is your sting? Say, for me, death has no sting. Because I've been redeemed from death. Death for me is a promotion. Hallelujah. You got to see it as that. Okay? Isaiah 25:8. It says, I will swallow up death forever. Jesus can gobble up death forever. Okay? Psalm 49:15. It says, God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave. Okay? Now, yes, natural. But maybe there's some things that have died in you. Maybe there's some things that need to be resurrected in you. Let me tell you a quick story. How many know of Lauren Cunningham? He started YWAM. He had a vision of getting this boat, one of these cruise liners, and to take it all across the world and provide medical help for third world countries. And so they found this boat, and it required a $50,000 deposit. Someone from New Zealand gave the $50,000 non-refundable deposit. It was in the papers of how this man believed God for this great miracle. And they were fixing up the boat, but something happened. They started paying more attention on the boat than on the person of Jesus. And so Lauren had a vision of Jesus standing in the shadows. And he realized from that dream that they were spending more time on the project than on the person. Listen, the project, never let the project become greater than the person. Always keep your focus on Christ. And the Lord told Lauren Cunningham, he said, you can either let this boat die and I will resurrect it, or you can keep it, but it's going to be hard, terrible. Things aren't going to work out. So you know what? They went on a 7-day fast and they let that project die. Lost the $50,000. But a couple years after that, how many know that God is the resurrection and the life? Maybe there's some dreams that need to be resurrected in you. Maybe there's some desires that need to be rekindled in you. Maybe there's some fires, some embers that need to be blown on so that they can increase in heat and intensity in your life. A couple years later, they got a boat that was bigger. And they named that boat Anastasis, which is the Greek word for resurrection. Hallelujah. You know, maybe your dreams need to be resurrected. Maybe your destiny needs to be resurrected. Maybe there's some things in your life that you need God to breathe life to. You've let some things go. Let me tell you, God can make it alive. God can quicken it. God can bring it again to the forefront. He can stir those things up on you so that you can walk in Him. Don't let your dreams die. Don't let your destiny die. Know that you've been redeemed from death. Psalm 71:20, God will revive us again and bring us up from the depths of the earth. You ever felt like your life has had so much happen on you that you're overwhelmed by the depth? God can bring you up from the depths. He can revive you. He can revive your vision. John 5:25. This is awesome. The dead will hear the voice of the Son of God and live. I remember when Brother Hagin, when he died and he felt himself going down, he heard a voice that shook the place where he was. And when he heard that voice, he went from going down to going up. He got back into his body. He got saved. How many know that death can hear the voice of the Son of God and live? Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And look at verse 10. This is powerful. But is now, when? Right now, made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has what? Abolished death. He abolished, say, God abolished death. What does that mean? He canceled it. He negated it. He dissolved it. He invalidated it. He rescinded it. to rescind. You know, when you sign a mortgage, you got a rescission period of 3 days. You got 3 days to make up your mind if you want to go through with it or not. If you decide not to, you can write them a letter and you can rescind the contract. You can make it like it was null and void. Jesus abolished death. And has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. It is through the gospel, through the message of Christ, that he brings to life and immortality the things that need to be brought to life. Hallelujah. Hebrews 2:14. It says, through death he destroyed him who had power of death. Say, he destroyed him who had power of death. Now, if the one who had power of death is destroyed, he no longer has power over it. Is that right? That means Jesus. When you're trusting in Jesus, when your faith is in Jesus, when your hope is in Jesus, death is just going to be like a security checkpoint at the airport. You're going to pass right through. Death is not the end. Because on the other side, there's something greater than death. And you know, we all have to go through some levels of death. You got to die to self. Uh-oh, I don't want to hear that, Pastor. Too bad, I already said it. 1 Corinthians 15:22, in Adam all die, but in Christ all are made alive. Glory to God. 2 Corinthians 4:14. He was assured that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will raise us up also. Say, he's going to raise me up also. With Jesus. And bring us into his presence. He's going to raise you up and he's going to bring you into his presence. Jesus is going to usher you into his presence. Why? Because we've been redeemed from death. Now, I want to talk about something in the next few minutes about how to avoid spiritual death. How can you avoid spiritual death? I'm going to tell you people who will die spiritually so that you don't be those people. Amen? Okay. Just write these scriptures down. Genesis 2:17 to Genesis 3:3-7. Those who disobey God's commands will die spiritually. What happened to Adam? He disobeyed God. What happened? He died spiritually. The moment he disobeyed, death came in, didn't it? So you don't want to be a person that disobeys God's commands. You want to be a person that obeys. Say, I will obey. Okay? Proverbs 8:36. Those who sin against God and hate wisdom will die. Those who sin against God and hate wisdom. Say, I love wisdom. Say, I love God. So if you love God and you love wisdom, then you guess what? You're going to live and not die. So you don't want to be a person that hates wisdom. That's a fool. That's a four-letter F word. Proverbs 5:23. It says, those who lack discipline and love folly will die. Say, I'm a disciple of Christ. Therefore, I'm going to live. See, so you don't want to be someone who lacks discipline and who loves folly, because they end up dead, spiritually dead. Now, spiritually dead is what? What's spiritual death? Separated from God. Do you realize it only took Adam one decision to separate from God? Your decisions are either bringing you close to God or bringing you away from God. What did Jesus say? He said, you're either for me or what? Against me. Proverbs 6:32. Those who commit adultery destroy themselves. That's what the Bible says. So you don't want to be that, right? Say, I'm faithful. Say, I'm committed. Hallelujah. And you know, oftentimes when Israel would disobey God, he would categorize them into this group. Proverbs 11:19. Those who pursue evil goes to his death. Say, I pursue righteousness. Say, I go after righteousness, peace, and joy. Because that's the kingdom of God, isn't it? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. See, these are people that died spiritually. But we've been delivered from death, so we don't do these things. Proverbs 14:27. Those who are not reverent or worshipful are entangled in the snares of death. These are people that don't fear God. It leads to death. Spiritual death. Say, I love God. Say, I honor God. Hallelujah. When you honor God, when you worship God, when you honor the things of God, it leads to life. God will honor those who honor him. Proverbs 15:10. Those who hate reproof, forsake God's way, will die. That means I don't want to be corrected because I know it all. There's not one person in here that knows it all. Not even me. We all should love correction. It may hurt, yes, because the correction is a two-edged sword. It gets to the heart of the matter. God knows exactly how to get to the heart. He can bypass all, you can blow all the smoke you want, but God knows exactly what's going on. We cannot fool God. So say, Lord, correct me. Make me straight. Hallelujah. When that's our heart, we'll live and not die. Got time for a few more? Jeremiah 25:7. Those who do not listen to the Lord and provoke him with what your hands made. He said, you will have no other God before me. If it's something that our hands have made and we're making it higher than God, that's a problem. That's an idol. So when we provoke the Lord, we don't want to provoke him. We want to work with him. We want to conform to his image and in his likeness. We want to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. When we listen to him, we will live and not die. Hosea 13:9. Those who are against God. Some people are just on the wrong side. They're against God. That's the wrong side. You got to be with God. You got to be on his side. You got to be in agreement with his covenant. Amen? When you're in agreement with his covenant, you're going to live. But if you're against God, you're going to die. Because when you're against God, that means he's fighting against you. That means nothing's going to work. John 8:24. Those who do not believe that Jesus is who he said he is. If you don't believe who Jesus said he was, and if you don't believe who he is, you're going to die. Because without faith, what? You can't please God. It's impossible. So you got to believe it. You got to believe who he is. Hallelujah. Romans 8:6. Those who are carnally minded, it says those who are carnally minded lead to death, right? But those who are spiritually minded lead to life and peace. Say, I'm spiritually minded. Say, I'm in tune with the Holy Spirit. He has my attention. I hear his voice. And I follow him. Hallelujah. When you follow him, you live. James 1:5-8. Those who waver in their minds, it said, a wavering man shall not receive anything from God, and that includes life, right? So if you're unwavering, if you're wavering in your mind, what does that mean to hold between two opinions? You know, God's not your tango partner. Make up your mind. Be focused. Choose to honor God. Those who waver in their minds will die. And then finally, Revelation 21 is the bunch. Okay? Revelation 21:8, it says this. But as for the cowards, the ignoble, the contemptible, the cravenly, lacking in courage, the cowardly, submissive, and as for the unbelieving, the faithless, the depraved, the defiled, murderers, the lewd, adulterous, practicers of magic arts, and the idolaters, those who give supreme devotion to anyone or anything other than God, and all liars, all of these shall partake in the lake of fire, which is eternal death. So you want to be a truth teller, not a liar, right? You don't want to be these things. These things that I've listed are things you don't want to be, so be the opposite. When you be the opposite, you'll live. Why? Because you've been redeemed from death. You've been destined for life. You've been destined to reign. God delivered you from death so that he could do something with your life. God's got a call on each one of you. He's got an assignment. He's got a purpose. He's got a task for each one of you. And we're all going to stand before the Lord one day. And that's going to be the day of accountability. We're going to have to give an account of what he's given to us. And we either multiplied it or we decreased it. And you know what happened to the man who decreased his talent? It was taken away from him, and he was cast out in the outer darkness. He said, you wicked and unfaithful servant. But the ones who took what they were given from God and multiplied it, he said, well done, thou good and faithful servants, enter into joy. I want to enter into joy. So I want to be a person who lives. Let's live for God. Let's shake off these chains of death. Let's get rid of death thoughts and death words, and let's start speaking life. Let's be life promoters. Let's promote life. God is a God of, they were looking for God amongst the dead. He said, why are you looking for the living among the dead? He's not there. Jesus is the life of the party. Go where the life is. Let's not be dead in church. Let's be alive in church. Let's not have dead worship. Let's have lively worship. You are lively stones. You are living stones. Glory to God. Let's breathe life into our families. Be the life of the party. There is no party poopers in God's kingdom. We've been redeemed from poverty. Does that mean you're going to be rich overnight? No. But God certainly doesn't want you struggling. He doesn't want you on barely get along street next to Grumble Alley. And along with poverty, he wants you well. He wants you walking in divine health. We're not supposed to live by miracles. We're supposed to live by faith. Too many times when we got these physical conditions keep coming up and coming up and coming up, it's like we're swinging on a miracle vine. When are we going to start walking in divine health? And then we're delivered from death. If you know that you've been delivered from death, fear cannot reside within you. It changes your attitude. You become, you know, it's the fearless who do great exploits for God. It's the fearless who get out of the boat and walk on the water. It's the fearless who get up on the day of Pentecost and speak, and 3,000 people get born again in one time. It's the fearless who go into Samaria and cast out devils and heal the sick and cause the lame to walk and let there be and leave great joy in the city. It's the fearless who sing praises at midnight and cause the chains in the prisons to open and fall off. It's the fearless who march around Jericho until the walls fall down flat. God is looking for a fearless remnant. Those who know that they've been redeemed from poverty, they've been redeemed from sickness, and you've been redeemed from death. He's added value. He's bought you back. He's paid the price. You don't owe anything to poverty. You don't owe anything to sickness, and you certainly don't owe anything to death. Why? Because your bill has been paid in full on all three levels. Because God wants you whole. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, He wants you whole, spirit, soul, and body. He sanctifies you wholly, spirit, soul, and body. Why don't you stand up? And whatever you need to do to let God's reality be your reality, how quickly can you believe that you've been redeemed from death? That means if you know you've been redeemed from death, don't plan on let sickness taking you out. Well, how am I going to see Jesus if his sickness can? You can just go to sleep. You don't have to let sickness take you out. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for being our resurrection and our life. You've redeemed us from death. Hallelujah. Oh, you've raised us up, Father. You've given us a higher quality of life in the name of Jesus. And no longer will we fear. No longer will we be afraid. But we're going to go forward and we're going to do what you want us to do. We're going to be God pleasers, not man pleasers, in the name of Jesus. Oh, we're going to go forth and be who you've called us to be. We're going to go where you called us to go. And we're going to do what you call us to do in the name of Jesus, because we've been redeemed. Hallelujah. I've been redeemed. Glory to God. I'm walking in freedom. Hallelujah. I've been set free in the name of Jesus. No more bondage. No more limits. No more inhibitions. No more obstacles. No more hindrances. Because I'm a free person. I've been free. Glory to God. I'm free indeed. Thank God Almighty. Free at last. Free at last. Thank God Almighty. I'm free at last. Hallelujah. You need to stir yourself up. Stir yourself up on your most holy faith. Glory to God. If you can pray in the Holy Ghost, pray in the Holy Ghost. Let that fire of God come down in the name of Jesus. Some of you have laid down and let the devil just run roughshod over you. No more. You tell the devil what to do. He doesn't tell you what to do. And if he wants to talk to you, you just let the word answer. Glory to God. We're redeemed from death. We've been bought back. Its effects are rendered useless and ineffective on us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. Say this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you that my mind is washed with the water of your word. My mind is cleansed. I can think clearly what you said in your word. I can have, I can do, and I am that. No longer will I allow the devil and darkness to dominate my thinking. I'm going to think about the light. I'm going to think about the power of God. I'm going to think about the possibilities. And I'm going to walk in righteousness. And I'm going to lay claim to my inheritance in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, whatever you didn't understand, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal it to you. God has great things for every one of you. Oh, if you only knew the plans that He thinks of you, plans to prosper you. But you know what? So many times we miss His appointments. He sets up these appointments, and for whatever reason, we miss them. And then we want to blame God. Listen, never blame God for anything that's going wrong. God is not the author of wrong. Put the blame where it is. Principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. And yes, there is evil working in this world, but you know what? He who is in us is greater. Amen. So, I heard this statement. Christianity was never meant to be dictated. It was meant to be demonstrated. So go out and be who God called you to be. And that's the best testimony that we could ever offer to the world, is just walk in the light that we have, do what we know to do, and as we're doing that, God will give you more. Amen? So be blessed. Be refreshed. And walk in that knowledge that you've been redeemed from death. Amen? God bless you. Have a good night.